Oh, yeah. Let's worship Jesus. Would y'all stand with me as we get started this morning? I'm going to pray for us as we get going here. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. God, you are worth praising. And so today, as we lift up your name, as we lift up who you are, as we praise you and magnify and glorify you, Lord, would you fill our hearts? Lord, would you bring us joy? Would you set us straight on your path? Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Lord, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty to save. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou summer. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faith. One more time. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is so good. Amen. Yes, yes. He turns graves into gardens, breathes life into dry bones. That is the God we're singing about today.
Well, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Well, then you came along and you put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Well, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing, you give beauty for ashes, you turn shame into glory, you're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens, you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways, you're the only one who can, you're the only one who can. Lord, there's nothing better than you, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Lord, we worship you today because there's nothing better than you. There's nothing worthy of praise more than you. You're so good. You're so good. You're the one that breathes new life into us with your Spirit. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making this life worth something because Jesus rose. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and as we do that, we're going to sing you a couple more songs. You may or may not know some of these songs, so if you don't know them, read the words on the screen and worship him from your heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcomed home, the sinner now a saint.
For the God who died came back to life, and everything was changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed you. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And on the day you call me in to heaven's sweet embrace, I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. And through tears of joy, I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed you. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Is risen from the grave. All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs, as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise Yahweh. That's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing right now. It's praising our God. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. He's worthy of your praise. Come on. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is Alleluia, Alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing again and again, 'cause all that I have is Alleluia, Alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing Alleluia.
Thank you for receiving our praises today. Lord, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit into this place today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, making a way for us. Lord, thank you for our future and our hope and our life in you. Amen.
Church family and our visitors. Father, we thank you for the children you've entrusted to our care. May we be found worthy and remember all the wonderful things you've done in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, this is a different perspective, sitting up here, being up here. So, well, if you guys are nervous, welcome to the club, because I'm very nervous. As I've said before, it's my first time up here, but who am I and how did I get up here? I'm William Dunkel. My wife and I have been coming here to the church about 6 years now. And 3 of those years, I have served on the leadership team as a deacon, and it's been nothing but pleasurable and fun. So how did I get up here? How did I put myself in this situation? So generally at leadership, Sam brings it up a few months in advance. Hey, I'm going to be gone a couple Sundays next year. These are the dates. Who wants to take my place? And usually the elders, Robert and Jared, will rock, paper, scissors for the time to get up here. So it's 10, 15 seconds of them, you know, kind of staring at each other. You want to do it? You want to do it? Usually I'm like, don't pick me, don't pick me. But I raised my hand and said, I'll do it. So, and the reaction from everybody in the room was worth the price of admission in itself. And before I could retract my statement, I've never seen anything put in the minutes faster than what Sam did. Boom, you're doing it. So here I am. And this has been, I've only worked on the message maybe a month or so, but this has been about 5 months in the making. So, but then as time went on, you know, of course people are gonna, hey, let's have some fun. You should tell everybody that you parked in Sam's spot out there. And you didn't have a choice. You just got nominated. Well, I parked in a spot today, but he told me, get out next week. So, but for anybody that doesn't know, there's a sign out there that says, Pastor Parking. You park, you preach. And he will enforce that, very much so. So anyways, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to hit the ground running. As most people in here know, I like to run. You can call me half crazy because I only run half marathons. So that's 13 miles. But I'm the type of guy that gets out there 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, running down the road in the dark, anywhere around 3 mile radius of here. I'm out there running before work. Got to get my training in. So I do about 4 or 5 half marathons a year. I do one over in Seattle. I do one up in Missoula, Montana, and a couple here in Boise. Well, what's that got to do with, you know, with a Bible message or anything like that? Well, there is lots of running passages in the Bible. I mean, running's been around forever. I was going to focus on some of those, maybe some of this, that, whatever. But a verse came to mind that pretty much has nothing to do with running, but that's okay. So, but running takes a lot of commitment and discipline. You know, a lot like other things. Commitment to set the alarm for 3 a.m. Who wants to do that? Well, it's only 15 degrees outside. Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to go run. Discipline to stay on course. You know, I'm training for 13 miles. I go sign up for a race, and I got 13 miles to do. And I don't want to, you know, only do 10 and, you know, not finish or anything like that. It's like being up here. The pressure's on. I got to finish it. So, okay. You didn't come up here to hear me babble on about my running and stuff like that. Came here. It's Sunday. We're getting there. So, you get 100 runners in a room. Ask them all, what training plan do you use? And I 100% guarantee you, you have 100 people, you're going to get 113 different answers. Because everybody's different. Everybody runs different. Everybody trains different. So somebody might say, well, I'm using this because I'm only doing this, you know, next month. But I'm going to go back to this plan because I'm going to go run a little farther. Whatever. You're going to get a bunch of different answers. So, there's 75, 80 people of us in here today. So if I were to ask you, what training plan are you going to use for your life? Hopefully I'm only going to get one answer, and that's going to be your Bible. So, yes, we're all different. We're all running different races, but we're all using the same training plan. If we want to be more Christ-like, grow closer to Him, this is what we need. We need commitment. We need discipline, reading, and more importantly, understanding what's in the Bible. Stuff gets taken out of context. You guys know how it is, how it can be. So I'm thinking of these running verses, and I can do this and do that, and I got to put a 30-minute message together. I don't know. So I finally started putting pen to paper and stuff together, and I finally came up with a verse that has nothing to do with running when you first read it. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It's not a running verse. But you look at it, talks about carrying burdens, helping each other, encouraging other. That can be so. That is so true in all walks of life, especially I've encountered this in my running community. lots of encouragement. You know, people like to see other people do good, not just yourself. So in this verse, we see Paul talking to the Galatians about correcting others with kindness. So what's the biblical word for encouragement? That's love. Love is all over the Bible. So Paul wants the Galatians to correct others with kindness and with love. And at the same time, you're going to correct somebody, you need to be mature enough in yourself, in your faith, so you don't fall into the same transgression that someone else is doing. For me, that can be a hard one. Driving in traffic, whatever. Work. I know I have a couple coworkers here with me today, so I'm not always the kindest at work. I'm not always encouraging. But hey, keep me accountable. And if you can't get a hold of my coworker, just call my wife. She'll hold me accountable anytime. So, also another thing that goes good with running is the Bible says we're never here alone. We're never to go through this solo. We all have our personal burdens, our loads, we all have everything going on, but we're not here alone. First of all, we have Christ. I mean, we're all here on Sunday. We're all gathered here to hear a message. We have church family dinners. We have Bible studies. That's how we understand our training plan. Don't do it alone. So, Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Restore with a spirit of gentleness. In today's world, that's pretty difficult. We got lots of negativity just everywhere. We're going to fight negativity with negativity. It's so easy to do. I mean, just like I said, traffic. It's so easy to be negative. It could be easy for people to be positive. Some people are just naturally positive. Others, maybe not. So, like I said, fight negativity with negativity. But that's not what the Bible says. Romans 12:17, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in sight of all. I read that verse and I'm like, maybe you should think before you speak. Because what you say can have lasting impact, or somebody you don't even realize is listening in could take what you say, take it out of context, whatever, whatever. So if you're following along, and point number one in your bulletin is be encouraging always. Be encouraging, be positive. So many years ago, the catchphrase, I'm sure you guys remember it, I still hear it. I don't know if it came out, but it was really popular. What would Jesus do? You'd see the stickers all over the place, WWJD, stuff like that. So let's not talk about what would Jesus do. How about what Jesus did? In order to do that, we need to rely on our training plan. Go to the Bible, specifically the book of John, where Jesus is talking to unbelievers, people who've never heard his message before. Totally different. Now, Jesus was sent by God with all the power to judge and condemn the world. He could come down here and tell us sinners what we're doing wrong, be negative, all that kind of stuff. But what did he do? He didn't do that. John 5:22, for the Father judges no one, but has given all the judgment to the Son. Right there. Jesus can judge us, he can condemn us, he can do anything. But he doesn't do that. He's already, in John, he's already said, believe in me and you'll have eternal life. Also, he's saying you're not going to be condemned or judged for your sin. You're going to be loved. So how radical of an idea must that have been to everyone Jesus encountered back then? Because unbelievers in Jesus, were living under what? They were living under the Mosaic Law. They had hundreds of laws to live by. Can't do this, can't do that, all this kind of stuff. And here comes Jesus with one commandment, love. That's it. He had the power to do whatever he wanted, to be negative to everybody. You sinners, you know, you're going to, whatever. But he didn't. All it was love. And then he put that on display. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. So, little context, Jesus is being crucified. He's in the act of being crucified. He's hanging on the cross. And what did he do? Was he negative? No. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's for everybody. The people that were persecuting him, the Roman soldiers, all of them. He wasn't negative towards them at all. He loved them. He asked the Father for his forgiveness. So how do we compare with that? How do we compete with that? Well, we don't. We're not here to be Jesus. We're here to be more like him. We're not called to live a perfect life. There was only one that lived a perfect life. We're just sinners. What we're called to do is read, grow our relationship with Jesus, and be more like him every day, using love, no negativity, picking each other up in the hard times, rejoicing in the good times, and most of all, most importantly, giving him the glory in all the things that we do. And in doing so, we're doing what Christ has instructed us to do, just like it's written in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the more we do this, the more we read his word, the more mature we become in our faith, in our walk, our sanctification. I used to think that was a big word that people throw around. Hey, you know, I know this word, you know, what do you think? Or make themselves look better. But I came here and actually got a proper explanation of what it is, what sanctification is, and it's our walk with Christ. And everyone's in a different place, and we're all running a different race. But the more we fulfill Christ's commandment, the closer we're growing with him, growing towards him. So point number two in your bulletin, if we do these things, if we follow Jesus' commandment, we're being responsible to God. So one more thing before we keep going. You know, I said I like to run within about a 5-mile radius of here. You'll find me up on Columbia, Cloverdale, you know. If you guys are crazy enough to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you see a dude in a light-up vest and, you know, maybe a headlamp on or something like that running down the side of the road, be responsible and encouraging and don't run him over. It may not be me. There's a couple other people out there that are just as crazy. But, you know, just keep your car on the road. We would appreciate it. So that brings me to, you know, you could be doing that on a Tuesday. But we're not called to love and encourage just on Sundays, just here today between 10 and 11 or anything like that. Loving, encouraging each other goes way beyond the church, no matter how tough it is at work, in your life, whatever. And Jesus set the example. You know, and the running community is very encouraging like that as well. I think that's what inspires me to keep doing it. Also for my health, and I don't know, I'm sure there's some mental ailment in there too, but So, there's one race that I run here every year. It's a pretty big one here in Boise. It's called the St. Luke's Fit One. Last year, I think there was like 13,000 people that participated in it. They close the streets down and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty fun. I do the half marathon of doing it. This year will be my fifth year in a row doing it. And we start right up there in the front of the Capitol building at 7 o'clock in the morning. Go out through the old penitentiary over to Warm Springs and come in on the Greenbelt, and we hit Capitol Boulevard. Well, if you know anything about Capitol Boulevard, it goes up a hill to the depot, to the train depot. Well, we get dumped out on Capitol Boulevard at mile 12 of 13. And now we have this huge hill to do, and we're at mile 12. So to get up there, it's pretty steep. It's not very short, especially when you're running. So a couple years ago, I was killing it. I was just awesome pace. Man, this is going to be a record-setting day for me. I get dumped out on Capitol Boulevard, and there's hundreds of people out there. We're all running. Now, everybody's running a different race. There's three different distances. You have a 5K, which is 3 miles, 10K, which is a little over six, and then those crazy ones with the 13 miles. So we're all out there. We're all running. I'm doing great. I'm looking at this hill. It's mile 12. Not exactly fresh. My heart rate's already up like 175, 180. Man, I'm probably going to walk. Here comes my self-doubt. I can't run up this. I'm going to walk. Okay, so I finally give in. I start walking a little bit. Fast as I can. Lots of people out there. We're all doing our thing. So I'm not alone, but I feel alone. So as soon as I start walking for a minute, here comes another guy behind me. Pats me on the shoulder and says, come on. Let's finish this together. Let's race together. I'll beat you to the finish line. I'm like, cool. Motivation. Somebody wants to finish with me. At that exact moment, I mean, it couldn't have planned it any better. Here comes this young lady pushing a stroller, not with one kid in it, but two. Right between us. Boom. Like we were going backwards. Wow. That's great motivation there. So the guy looks at me and he goes, well, that wasn't very motivating, was it? So I looked at him and said, no, but did you happen to notice the color of her bib? Her bib was blue for 5K. Ours is yellow for the half marathon. She's only on mile two. She's probably got fresher legs. She's probably trained with the stroller and the two kids. Probably, you know, run up and down this hill a bunch of times. We're not running that race. She's not running our race. We have our own problems to worry about. So let's go. She's not on mile 12. Let's go. So off we went. We started running. We ran up the hill, ran across in front of the depot, started hearing all the hoopla down in the park, the finishing festivities. Made it out to Americana Boulevard, and the last, if anybody tells you half marathon is easy, they're kidding you. The first 13 miles are easy. It's the point one that's hard. So, but on this one, the last point one was actually down a hill. So it was awesome. So we finished the finish line together, me and this guy, don't even know his name, nothing, just a fellow runner helping me out. So to put it in perspective, the top runners for any half marathon are hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15, somewhere in there. I finished the day hour and 53 minutes, 18 seconds, my personal best. Because somebody else, I had no idea who he was, decided to take it upon himself to give me some encouragement. I encouraged him. We finished together. You know, we had our own burdens to carry. We had our cramps. We had our heart rate. We were dehydrated, whatever it was. We didn't take those burdens away from each other. We just put them aside, encouraged each other, and we finished together. That's what I'm saying when it, you know, goes beyond these walls on Sunday. Loving each other, encouraging each other, not just on Sunday. It's a Sunday through Saturday process. We all have these moments in our life, mile 12 moments. And there's another one that came along. So I'm putting this together, pen to paper, throwing out ideas and stuff, come to something, I'm a little stuck, just not sure what to do. So I understand what I need to say, but I don't know how to get it on paper. So I asked somebody here in the church for some help, and I got it. I got some advice. He could have said, yeah, you'll figure it out, don't worry about it. But no, he gave me some very good advice. But in the meantime, he, you know, threw out his version of encouragement, said it was nice to see me stressed out a little bit. So I do appreciate that. So anyways, verses 3-5. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and his reason to boast will be in himself and not his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. So when I came to that, I was just having a little problem kind of explaining that and whatnot. But the more I read God's word, the more I like referencing scripture with more scripture. Digging deep into what things mean, putting them into the right context, that sort of thing. So we're going to go back to the book of John, chapter 3, 22-30. I love this story. After this, Jesus and his disciples went in to the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him. Jesus answered, a person cannot receive one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. So we have John here baptizing people, and some people watching this come up to John and they're like, hey, that guy over there is baptizing more people than you. Aren't you jealous? John, being quick to point to Jesus in all things, does exactly this. He was glad more people went to Jesus, because it's not about John. It's not about, they were thinking John baptizes them, now they're going to follow John. No, follow Jesus. Jesus can baptize them all. That is fine. That's where the glory lies. I baptize you, you follow Jesus. He points to the one that deserves it. Jesus must increase. We must decrease. It's always about him, and it always will be. So, I appreciate you guys putting up with my running stories and sense of humor and that kind of thing. We're not finished yet, so don't worry. So, but I just want to be clear, I'm not up here doing this for me. I'm not in competition with anybody, giving Sunday messages, nothing like that. If I'm just a one-hit wonder up here, I told Sam that the other day, perfectly fine with that. And he's like, well, we'll see. So, but I just want to give the message of Jesus. That's it. I'll be more than happy to go back to cooking men's breakfast once a month for the guys, winning the annual cornhole tournament, you know. 2 years in a row now, come on. Anyways. You know, these are my stories and stuff like that, but I just want to put the focus on the right way to Jesus. So, but have no fear. Sam will be back next week. He did tell us in the leadership that he already had next week's message finished for the 22nd. And I asked him if it was going to be titled Damage Control. I never really got a solid answer, so I hope not. Seriously though, you guys have made it with me this far, so I have a visual demonstration before we're done. Paul talks about our burdens and the loads we must carry in life every day. Things that slow us down. Things that slow us down going up Capitol Boulevard, whatever. But we're not always going to encounter encouraging type of people in our walk. There's negativity everywhere. Even fellow believers won't be encouraging toward us. But one thing that comes up and can often be a topic of debate is, must we do these things? Must we love? Must we encourage? Must we do all of these works in order to keep our salvation? So here's our little visual demonstration. So when I sign up for a race, about 3 or 4 days in advance, I go pick up a race packet, has their bib and all that kind of stuff. I get a pretty little shirt. This is from Missoula for last year, and I got like 4 of these. I got like, I don't know, 30 total running shirts. So I signed up for the race, and I get a gift. Haven't even run yet. I got a gift. That's pretty cool. So now, do I have to, if I take this shirt and I go home, race day is Sunday and I don't go race, do I have to give the shirt back? No, shirt's mine. If I do not go run the race, or I do go run the race, but I don't finish because I lose motivation, I get hurt, whatever, do I lose the shirt? No, nothing like that. So, you signed up for Jesus. You say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. What gift do you get? Eternal blessed salvation. Now, you take that gift, and you go home, and you sit on the couch for 6 years or whatever, and you don't do anything with it. You don't love, you don't encourage, you don't do anything. Do you still have that eternal life gift? Absolutely. So, I take the shirt and I do go run the race. This shirt here has memories. I have a relationship with this shirt. I look at it. That was last year. I can think of all the good things that happened during the race, the bad things, whatever. I didn't wear it during the race, but it brings back the whole, you know, trip, the race, all that kind of stuff. Exactly with our eternal life gift. We want to build a relationship with the one who gave us that gift. And we're not forced to do it. Why wouldn't we want to do these positive, encouraging, loving things to someone who gave us eternal life, to someone who was being crucified on the cross, and all he did was love? He prayed for the people that were crucifying him. Like I said, we can't compete with that. We can only build a stronger relationship with him. So, also, when I finish, I get a cool little medal. Little finisher medal. I got lots of these too. They're hanging on the wall, all that kind of stuff. But I don't get this unless I finish the race. So, but nobody's going to take it from me either. So one final thought. When you get your race packet and stuff, you sign up for the bib, you get your shirt, you get your bib, and then they always throw 4 safety pins and to put your bib on your shirt. Safety pins, they poke you, they put holes in your shirt, all this kind of stuff. So I found this little company online. They're called bib boards. They're 2 little pieces, one piece here, one piece on the back, and they snap together. You can put a message on them, you can put a picture. I have about 8, 9 different sets with American flag, funny phrase, stuff like that. Not a Christian company as far as I know. Doesn't matter, they sell a product, I like it. So, And just for my wife and sister that are here, I did not buy more running socks. When I say buy running gear, it's not always socks. But just a few days ago, they had a sale, so I had to look. And one of these had a message on it that I thought was really cool. And I'm like, I'm going to put that in the message. So it's actually the last part, the last fill in the blank on the bulletin. Pain is temporary. Finishing the race is forever. What Jesus went through on the cross during his life was temporary. What he did for us is forever. He experienced immense pain, suffering for us, and all he did was love. But it was temporary. He finished the race, and now we look to him. We need to build our relationship and run our race so we can have our forever with him. The pain is temporary, and finishing the race is forever. So hopefully I went long enough. Hopefully I got my message across. It seems like I've only been up here about 2 minutes, but I don't think so. So I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. Let's finish with some prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning, for everyone gathered here to learn more about you, Lord, to build our relationship, to grow in you, and to be more like you, to be more loving, more encouraging. And just be with us as we go through our day, through our week. And we love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? It was a great message. And this last song is I Surrender All. As we sing these words, then consider living for Jesus is worth it, right? We just talked all about living a life of love and encouragement. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
Surrender all.
thanks for coming to church today. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.